It's on Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. A Georgia Tech class is spending a lot of time on Auburn Avenue this semester, and it's for educational purposes. Sweet Auburn was Martin Luther King Jr.'s neighborhood and a center of the 60s civil rights movement. And the class is focused on the street's complicated history and somewhat troubled present. This conversation is part of Lessons from Left Field. That's a series where we learn about unique classes in schools around the state. So joining us now is Georgia Tech professor Naseem Jafari Naimi. Who's been guiding the students in these projects. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And also with me are two Georgia Tech students, Nick Tippins and Ali Yildirim.
Hey. Thanks Welcome. For having us.
Yeah, good to have you. So let's start with you, Naseem. You focused on Auburn Avenue because...
What you just mentioned. So the classes are two courses, one on social justice, philosophy of design, and critical theory. The other, I'm complementing that with a hands-on design course to create this immersive learning environment. And you can imagine with the history of Auburn Avenue and its role in the civil rights movement, there's a natural connection to social justice
in this. How recent is this concept that social justice or inequality can be related to design?
Absolutely. So in the theory course, for example, we learn how technologies, media, products can actually be tools for advancing social justice or for oppression. And we learn theories of social justice to begin to think about the built environment in more reflective ways. And in the design course, the idea is to put those ideas to work, to learn how to engage problems in more sophisticated and thoughtful ways.
So Nick and Ali, either you can answer this. Had you walked down Auburn, had you spent time on Auburn Avenue before this course?
I actually had not. I think my first time on the street was probably this January.
Ali?
I had been down a couple times, but I didn't spend any serious time down there.
I mean, but as you walked down, did you think to yourself, wow, this neighborhood was not set up for peak social justice? Did social justice occur to you at all?
I mean, I think we saw opportunity to work towards social justice.
What does that mean?
I think we saw a street with an incredible history of social justice, but one where, you know, in the last 50 years, there have been a series of things that have occurred that have left some opportunity for more social justice to take place.
But what are the things that have occurred?
So after desegregation, you had this neighborhood that was sort of forced together because of segregation. And then black business owners and the like were able to go to other places in the city to have their businesses and to spend their lives after desegregation. And so what you had was sort of an area that became economically depressed, like a lot of other areas inside of Atlanta in the, you know, late 60s and early 70s. And it was just sort of left behind and experienced some of the urban blight that a lot of other neighborhoods in town in Atlanta experienced.
Now, you guys spent time talking to someone whom we'll hear quite a bit from in a few minutes. But let's hear a little bit from his wife, Tanya, talking about the neighborhood around Auburn Avenue.
So much that could be going on here. So much education, so much awareness, so much activity can be happening here. That's not, but we're going to continue to be in as many meetings as we can and in as many offices as we can to try and influence people and get them to kind of see our vision so we could build this area up.
So, Ali, you've now spent a good part of the semester studying design and its connection to social justice and equality, right?
Yep.
So what do you see, these opportunities that Nick's talking about, what kind of changes could happen in the neighborhood to make it more socially just?
So a big issue that a lot of residents notice is that when visitors come to Auburn Avenue, they really kind of stay at the MLK Center in the historic district, and they never really venture past down that into the street. And so I think an incredible goal or an outcome that I would like to see is just people coming down and seeing the rest of the history down on Auburn Avenue. So some kind of insulation or something that will guide visitors and people in the area to come down towards the street, see other parts of Auburn Avenue.
So Naseem, what do you, as you, what kind of opportunities do you see, or that you can teach to your student? How do you make a neighborhood more socially just or equal using design?
Well, the idea is not to give students a formula, but to begin to help them develop strategies that they might use to identify opportunities or issues that they can engage with. So in class, we do a lot of ideation, prototyping, and critique, and working with the community to come to those solutions or ideas together, as opposed to us going and having a prescription for the community for what they should do. We work with the community to identify opportunities together, and those opportunities depend on what they want to accomplish at any moment in time.
So let's hear again from Tanya and her husband, Ben, talking a little bit about what they would want to see in the neighborhood.
I just think with the right connections and the right help, that Auburn Avenue could be that, just that tourist strip that people can just walk up and down all.
You should be able to come down here and spend hours. Once you get off the streetcar, out of your car at the King Center, you should be entertained and aware of so much that it take you hours to come off of this street.
Nick, why do you think the streetcar isn't accomplishing that? It goes right through Auburn Avenue. Why isn't it getting people to linger?
Well, you know, you just said it goes right through Auburn Avenue, and you're not forced to get off of it. And I believe the stop that's closest to the King Center is just past Ben and Tanya's store. And so if you're a tourist and you are staying in a hotel downtown and you hop on the streetcar to go see the King Center, unless you look out the window of your streetcar, you're not even going to see Ben's store, unless you decide to turn and walk back towards downtown. Which, to be honest, I think it's a street that for a lot of people who are probably coming to visit Atlanta, they may not feel comfortable walking down. And I think that's part of the injustice is, you know, people are unwilling to explore an area because they may have a preconceived notion about it.
So this becomes a problem, Ali, and it's one we've seen in a ton of urban areas around the country, which is that one way to get tourists to come is to put in stores that they know and trust, right? Then you install a Target and an Applebee's, and they feel comfortable because it's familiar, and yet that is going to displace local business owners. In terms of this class and what you've learned, how do you balance those two things, making a stranger feel comfortable versus encouraging local owners?
I think the key is to speak with the local business owners who are already established in the area because, for example, Ben has such a clear vision for what he wants to see Auburn Avenue turn into, and I think talking to them is really the key of just seeing, like, what their vision is for Auburn Avenue and seeing how are the ways for them to realize their vision.
So does this work in places that don't have the incredibly rich history that Auburn Avenue does? Does this work in Savannah? Does it work in New York?
I would say yes. You will be surprised when you go to a neighborhood of the rich stories that you will find and the authenticity that you will find in each neighborhood of people who live there. So I think if you truly engage with the community, all neighborhoods have potential for this kind of authentic, identity to preserve that.
Is it difficult to convince the students to go down the street? Do they feel uncomfortable?
Well, once I tell them the stories, yes, it's easy. They go and explore. I think one of the ways that I actually know if they have done it is when they come back to me and they say they have discovered, say, Madam C.J. Walker Museum or the Apex Museum or Ben and Tanya. So I've taught this course multiple times, and I know immediately when they come back and they tell me about gems that they discovered.
So, Nick, are you planning, I mean, will Auburn Avenue pull you back even after this course is over?
Yeah, I think so. For one thing, Ali and I have developed a friendship with Ben and Tanya.
While working on your documentary.
Right, exactly. But I've also already taken several groups of friends that have come into town to visit down to Auburn to show them the King Center and but also to take them on further down the street and show them Ben's store.
Were they nervous?
Yeah, honestly, a couple of them. I mean, Ali and I are both white guys, so we, you know, we stand out a little bit on Auburn Avenue at times. And
probably a lot of your friends are
white. And probably a lot of my friends stand out too. But that's one of the joys of this semester has been realizing that when you build relationships and you connect to a neighborhood, that neighborhood doesn't have to feel uncomfortable to you anymore just because maybe you're a minority on the street. It also changed the way I thought about homelessness. You know, I think one of the things that makes people feel uncomfortable on Auburn is there's a decent sized homeless population, and we're often uncomfortable around people who we don't know how to help or don't know how to talk to. And we learned from Ben and Tanya that you just get to know them like anyone else. And then once you get to know them, they're just like anyone else you would run into on the street and ask how they're doing. And you try to help them, and that's what Ben and Tanya do, but you also just treat them like a human being that they are, and don't see them as any different than anyone else.
Ollie, in the 30 seconds we have left, will this actually encourage you to go visit other streets where you might have before felt uncomfortable?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think just experiencing Auburn Avenue from this perspective just gave me a new idea of what these kind of streets and like the changes that can happen when you actually dedicate your time to these communities.
That is, we've been speaking with Georgia Tech Professor Naseem Jaffari Naimi. She's the faculty advisor for a class at Georgia Tech that focuses on the Sweet Auburn neighborhood in Atlanta. And we are also speaking with students Nick Tippins and Ali Yildirim, who created a documentary for their end of semester project. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For their final class project, Nick and Ali made a documentary about Big Mouth Ben. Benjamin Graham kicked a 17-year drug addiction to open an Auburn Avenue store. Now that store provides a place for folks with nowhere else to go. We caught up with Ben Graham last week.
My name is Benjamin Graham, also known as Big Mouth Ben.
My name is Tanya Graham.
Tanya and I met at the University of Georgia.
I will have to say, yeah, we were quite young, so well, still learning a lot, and it was a pleasure because he was definitely a different spirit than I was used to. He was a very outgoing, very popular guy.
While I was in college, I DJed at the radio station and various sorority and frat parties, and I was into music. I had a rap record out. At the time, it was being played on the radio. So I got this grand idea that I was about to blow up as a rapper, and I had 4 quarters to go for a degree, and I decided to quit school. At that point, I came back to Atlanta, and at that point, I lost touch. You know, 10 years went her way, and I went mine. So during that time, I entered into the world of drugs. Which resulted into a 17-year drug addiction. Don't care nothing about nobody, don't care who life it takes. It's rapping, it's cunning, it is there to keep you. Ended up under the bridge at Auburn Avenue and 4th Street. Sitting there one day under the bridge, and I said, it's got to be more to life than this. And it was as if God had come down and sat down beside me. He said, it is. He said, I promise to love you wherever you want to be. If you want to be under the bridge, I'll love you under the bridge. If you want to go to prison, I love you in prison, but it's up to you where you want to be loved. And a year later, I took that bike that I was riding around and selling snacks, and I covered it with yellow duct tape because I'd also discovered my purpose, which was to brighten people's life, to uplift people. So the yellow on the bike represents the sunshine. I know it seems like everybody on some. In recovery, I was reunited with Tanya. Which was
24 years later.
Which was actually 24 years later. We found each other on social media. Big Mouth,
Big Mouth. I had been working in my field, just going about my life, and had often thought about what he was doing and whatever happened to him after not talking to him or seeing him for so many years. So it was so surprising for me to actually hear that he had been through addiction and through homelessness, because I knew the type of person he was in college, that type of person that was always working, always doing something creative. So ain't about the trap. Nope. Got a store in the hood and it be good enough. Okay. Take my profits every day and then I put them up. Okay. Got
to say is a dollar.
One day while riding down Auburn Avenue, I noticed a for rent sign in one of the small shops right across the street from Wheat Street Towers.
And he told me this is right down the street from the Martin Luther King Center. He's like, it's one block from there. And I was like, you just don't get that opportunity too often.
I like to say that the store is an outreach store. At the store, we have free bottled water for those in need or those that are homeless. Free socks, you know, clean socks for those that can't afford it and come in that may need a change of clothes.
I get real on the trap.
On the trap, bitch.
You can dance to this trap.
To this trap, bitch.
But I think even more important is them to be able to see someone that they struggled with on the street, someone that they at times slept next to, you know, sometimes maybe indulged with, but see somebody that was that close to them making it, making different choices, to see that it's not impossible, that you can actually, you can attain this, because you're looking at Ben do it.
Some people say they're going to support you, but they really don't.
That was Benjamin Graham, a.k.a. Big Mouth Ben, and his wife, Tanya. The documentary about their life called Came From Nothing premieres tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Apex Museum in Atlanta. Just ahead, more private homes might be coming to Georgia's largest barrier island, and plenty of people are not happy about it. This is On Second Thought.
Where's all this coming from?
Light skill on the trap.
Trap.
Trap. Trap.